Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now in Masechet Baba Batra Daf Kuf Yod Gimel Amud Aleph, the very bottom of the Amud, analyzing the passage at the end of the second group of relationships mentioned in our first Mishnah of the eighth Perek, and that is Bnei Achot, and that is the nephews through a mother's sister will inherit, but not bequeath. Tana, and keep this in mind for the end of the sugya, Bnei Achot. Only nephews and not nieces. What does that mean? It means nephews come before nieces. So in other words, if mother has a son and a daughter, and then mother's sister dies, the sister, and there's no other siblings, and she has no children either, the inheritance will come through the mother to the son, and the daughter won't get anything. Now, Tana Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak Kamei de Rav Huna, V'yarash, our Pasuk says V'yarash, Mekish Yerusha Shnia, V'yarusha Rishona. In other words, the Pasuk says, and if there isn't a brother, etc., a brother or father, then the She'erah Karovala V'yarash. So, Mekish Yerusha Shnia, Yerusha Rishona, meaning a second tier type Yerusha is like a first, in other words, all Yerushot have the same guiding principle. Ma Yerusha Rishona Ben Kodem Labat, Af Yerusha Shnia Ben Kodem Labat. And so this is the source for the halacha that Rav Sheshet just said, which is that even in a second tier or further down the line, Yerusha, such as a woman's property going through her sister to that sister's child, follows the same route that if there is a son, the daughter doesn't inherit. Tani Rav Bar Chanina Kamed Rav Nachman. This is the beginning of Parshat Ki Teitzeh, where the Torah talks about a man bequeathing the double portion to his bechor. And it says, "Biyom hanchilot panav." So, "Biyom atama pul nachalot v'yatama pul nachalot balayla." Now, this will be a circuitous route to get back to our topic, but in the meantime, we'll cover some very, very central things about nachalah, or one central thing. The pasuk says, "On the day that he gives the inheritance to his children." You said, "Biyom atam pil nachalot v'yatam pil nachalot balayla," which means this is something that can only be done during the day. Amar le Abaye. Abaye turned to Rabbi Chanina and said, "Al me'ata the shachir b'yamamahu diyarti le'ibane." Man the shachir b'leilu yarti le'ibane. He says, "What? It sounds like only if somebody dies during the day do his children inherit from him," which of course is preposterous. So he said, "Dil medin nachalot kamar." He said, "Maybe what you wanted to say in front of Rav Nachman was not nachalot but din nachalot, meaning that we only will act in judgment and adjudicate a case of nachalah during the day." We'll see why. D'tanya. The end of our parsha calls nachalot chukat mishpat. Now, chukat means an everlasting law, an engraved law, as it were. Why is it called mishpat? We're on kol parsha kula liyot din. The nachalot is considered to be din, and what's the halach of din? Dine momonot have to be done during the day. And therefore, nachalah is something that the Beit Din has to sit down and work with only during the day. Uchad Rav Yehuda. Now, to say that a braita is k'Rav Yehuda is a little bit strange. What it means is the application of that braita is like Rav Yehuda as follows. De'am Rav Yehuda, shloshash nichasu levaker tachola. Let's say three people came to visit someone who was sick, was dying, and he gives a tzava. Ratzu kotvin. If they want to, the three of them can write down what he said as testimony. Ratsu osin din. If you want, the three of them could actually adjudicate it because they're a Beit Din. Shnayim, but if only two came to visit him, then kotvin ve'en osin din. They can only write it down. They can't make din. V'yam Rav Chista lo shanu ela bayom. This is only, meaning the three being able to do din is only if they came to visit him during the day. Ava balayla afilu shlosha kotvin ve'en osin din. Even if three people came to visit him, if it was nighttime, they can only write down what he said, and they cannot make the deen. And by the way, they can't even be the three to make the deen the next day. Well, my time, the havelo edim, because now when they've written it down, they're acting as edim. Vein edna said dayan, and the aid himself cannot become a dayan. He can't stand up in front of the Beit Din and testify to what he was as he can act tomorrow as a dayan to what he testified about the night before. And writing it down is an act of edim. But the point of Rav Yehuda's thing, germane to us, is that they cannot adjudicate the case of nachalah during the night, because it has a din of mishpat. Okay. Now, we have a side point that's going to take us back into the same direction. Itmar. Kinyan. Admatai choser. Now, kinyan here, what it means is when somebody is making an agreement to do something, and they're using a kinyan sudar to do so, and they're sitting down to discuss what their commitment is. So how when they made the agreement, at what point can they no longer change their mind? Rabba amar kolzman shiyoshvin. Rabba says, as long as the Beit Din is still sitting on the matter, they could change their mind. Rav Yosef amar kolzman sha'oskin boto inyan. He said, no, not that long. As long as they're still discussing the issue. Once they've finished discussing the issue and you've agreed to it, you made a kinyan, that kinyan is binding. So Amar Rav Yosef kavati di mistabra. I think that I'm right, and I'll prove it to you. The Amar Rav Yehuda, because Rav Yehuda said, shloshash nukzul bakir tachol eratzukot vinratzavos in din. They have the choice whether or not to write down what he said as edut, or they can make din. V'isal kadai tach kosman shiyoshvin, if you thought that Rabbu was right, that as long as Beit Din is still in session, they can, a guy can change his mind. L'chushtil mahadarbe, maybe this guy that they came to visit, where they did din, maybe he's going to change his mind. So it must be that as soon as he's finished talking about that issue, it's a done deal and they can already adjudicate it. So Rav Ashi, Amrita Shmate Kamer Rav Kana. So Rav Ashi said, I heard the statement of Rav Yosef, this support that he brought from the ruling of Rav Yehuda, and I said it in front of Rav Kahana. And then what I said was, Rav Yosef, Minecha. Rav Yosef's not in such a good position with Rav Yehuda's halacha either. Lechush Doma Hadarbe, maybe while the guy's talking about it, he'll change his mind. In other words, you say that as long as you're still talking about that issue, you could change his mind. Well, how can you adjudicate it? He's still talking about who he wants to give his property to. Maybe he'll change his mind. Alamayit lach lemeimar di sliku me'inyana li'inyana. Rav Yosef must interpret Rav Yehuda's case as a situation where the three people who came to visit the chola started talking about something else. So if they started talking about something else, then they can already rule. If that's the case, maybe they stood up to indicate that piece of their visit was over, and then they sat down, and now he can no longer change his mind even according to Rabba. Which means your proof from Rav Yehuda has a problem, and your solution to that problem is a solution that could equally apply to Rabba, just one step further. Alright, but nonetheless, the Gemara says, Hilchata kavatei Rav Yosef, b'sadeh inyanu mechza. This clearly was a separate statement that applied to our case, that we do rule like Rav Yosef against Rabba in the three cases of Sadeh, Inyan, and Mechza. What are they? So Sadeh is something we had earlier. This is all in Bava Batra. Sadeh is something we had earlier in Masechet in the first parak. And that is that if one of the heirs says, I would like to get a field of fathers when we're dividing it up that's next to my field, and the other brothers don't want to give them that one for whatever reason, they have the right to refuse. Second of all is Inyan, that's our thing, that as long as they have discussing the same Inyan, he can change his mind about the Kinyan. Once they've stopped discussing the Inyan, even though they're still in session, that's it. And Mechza is something we'll see later in the ninth parak, where if a person says, I want to give half my property to my wife and half to her sons, question is, does it mean give the whole property to them and divide it equally? If she has four sons, divide it five ways. Or does it mean half to the wife and half is divided among the five? And Rav Yosef says the latter approach, and that is indeed the halacha. Okay, we'll stop at this point and pick up with the last podcast of this sugya till we get to the next Mishnah. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.